All Right Just Won. I'm Allison.
All Right Just Won.
You interrupted me. How dare you? How dare you? All right.
She's Allison.
Shut up and open your beer, Brian.
Ah, oh, Tecate, you're delicious.
Hey, I like Tecate. All right, I gotta take the initial glug here.
Yeah, drink it down.
Drink down that delicious amber Sabor con
Eagle
Caraca.
Oh, well, I don't know. That says right under, right there. Sabor ban Caraca.
Something with character.
Ah.
Sabor drink? Is Sabor
a drink?
A drink
with character? Hey, I'll buy that.
Made in Mexico, hecho en Mexico. Cerveza, beer. But very Sabor, good. Something with Kekon is with, and then character is obviously character.
But see, if we had a German beer label to read, I'd be all over it.
And then O-R is... Foy? Oi? O-S-R? No, it's not a verb. It's not like a to drink.
Oh, okay.
So, because it doesn't end in a typical verb conjugation.
Wow, you know a lot more about Spanish than you've ever let on.
Hamburguesa con queso? It's a cheeseburger.
Your favorite.
Yeah, I know. If I ever go to Mexico or Spain, well, probably more Spain than Mexico, but I can get a beer.
Even the one's so much closer.
Yeah. Well, that's because they, like, in Mexico, they talk a lot of slang.
Well, yeah.
Just like any language, yeah. You know, so, but when they teach you in school, they're usually teaching you Spanish, traditional Spanish.
Spain Spanish, or whatever they call it, yeah.
So in Mexico, like, yeah, you'll get by just fine. But they do have, like, a different...
dialect.
Yeah.
Almost, yeah. Yeah,
you know, because it's a lot of American influence. Yeah. But yeah, I took Spanish, but I can get a beer.
A beer.
A cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger.
And I can ask where the bathroom is.
Hey.
That's really all I need, right?
I guess so.
That's all I need. All right. In today's episode, guys, we're going to be talking about whatever the heck I feel like for about 20 minutes. And
yeah.
Then we'll get into our favorite authors and then their favorite books and our least favorite books.
Sure. I wasn't prepared for the least favorite books part of that.
Ooh.
You prepared me for the favorite books.
I'm pretty good with some least favorites.
Are you now?
Yes.
I think you should have another sip of beer. And then I think it's time for part two of the Allison Guesses Cover Songs Challenge.
Oh, part
two. This is now a four-part series.
Oh, okay. How did I do last time?
You
pretty
got
good.
Four out of five last time.
Because you gave me that one, though.
I think you figured it out on your own.
So I need headphones?
You will have headphones, but you first of all, more imperative, drink some beer.
That I can always handle.
Now, once again, these are arranged from hardest to easiest to hardest.
Okay.
And your...
I like how Brian didn't have any of this ready knowing this was coming. He could have easily plugged my headphones in knowing this was coming.
Well, you know.
He doesn't tell me what the quizzes are.
Don't... You're taking the wrong end. Put these on your ears.
Sorry.
See, part of the problem is you're not doing what you're supposed to.
Sorry, I'm used to using the splitter and putting it into the microphone.
No, because I gotta be able to keep the secret of what the songs are, you silly.
Okay, alright.
Alright. So like I said, these are from easiest to hardest.
Yes.
These are all...
Please don't embarrass me.
These are all, girl songs.
Girl songs, meaning...
Sung by girls.
Oh, you're just torturing me.
Alright, hold on 1 second. I gotta
if you guys don't know, I hate chick singers.
I gotta reset. Okay, cool. Alright, so. I mean, and bonus point if you can name the chick singer along with the...
I won't.
You know what?
I hate them so much.
These might be a little bit easier than you think.
Cyndi Lauper.
Ah, no Cyndi Lauper.
That's the only one I...
All these songs were made popular by girl singers, alright?
Okay.
You ready?
Okay. These boots are made for walking! These boots are made for walking.
Yeah, you know who made the song popular, though?
Patty something?
No, but it's a name like Patty. Her dad is a very famous lounge singer.
Something Sinatra? Tammy Sinatra?
Not Tammy.
But it's a name like that, though.
It's Nancy,
that's it. That's why I was saying Patty. Nancy Sinatra. All right,
so you ready for the next one?
Yes.
All right. I forget who originally sung this, but this is a classic old song.
Okay. Classic old song?
Older, about the same time as These Boots Are Made for Walking.
Oh, There's no lyrics yet.
The night we met, I knew I needed you so.
You never listen to much oldies radio? You knew the last one.
Yeah, because that's in movies.
Wow, I didn't think this one was going to get ya.
At first, when the music was just playing, yeah. I thought it was going to be, There Were Birds on the Hill, but I never heard them singing. No, I never heard them at all, till there was you. I thought that's what it was going to be, from that musical.
I don't know musicals. This is just Be My Baby.
Be my baby, that one?
Yeah, you just sang over the chorus your other little musical song.
Okay, I know this one, but I didn't know that this is what this sounded like at all. Supposed to sound like. I don't know.
Alright, you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Alright, we're getting a little newer with them, just so you know.
Be my pretty baby. I feel like I know this one already.
You might. Because you always listen to, like, modern.
It's like, it's a Shake It Off song, isn't it?
It is. All right, who sings it, Allison?
Not Dwayne Johnson, because that was the Lip Sync Battle. Taylor Swift.
Yeah, you're very good at this.
I don't know the real lyrics of this song except shake it off.
Well, I'll let you get there so you can sing along, babe.
Play, 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 play. And the haters gonna hate, 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 hate. Shake, 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 shake. Shake it off. Shake it off. Okay, that's embarrassing enough that I know this song. I mean, David Bowie.
All right. I didn't know you were going to get that one so fast. Usually that's one of the songs when it does come on the radio. When, at least when I'm in the car, you switch the channel.
I'm not a huge Tay-Tay fan.
Is that what they call her?
Yeah.
Her fans are horrible. All right. You ready for this next one? All right.
Yes.
Here we go.
I used to bite my tongue and hold my breath, scared to rock the boat. So I said, it's a Roar by Katy Perry.
Your absolute favorite.
I do like Katy Perry.
I really was trying to look for a cover of Fireworks for you.
I love Fireworks. I love Fireworks. And actually, this song sounds better sing by dudes.
Yeah. This is like, there's like three different covers of this song, and this is my favorite one. But they all are better sung by dudes for some reason.
Oh, totally. There are certain Katy Perry songs that I actually like, but the song that made her popular, I cannot fucking stand. That I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It song, and I hated that. And then like that Candy song or what the fuck ever. Didn't like it.
The California Girls.
Yeah. Didn't like that with Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Didn't like that. But then she came out with like Firework and now Roar, and I'm like, oh, damn it.
I like Katy Perry.
I hate that
now.
I like you a little bit now.
Alright.
Okay. Right. Okay. Here. So I got those pretty fast.
Yeah, you've gotten all but Be My Baby because you were too busy singing a musical over the biggest hook.
Patrick will know what song I was singing. It's called Till There Was You.
He probably will.
Yeah.
All right, this is the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if you can nail it.
Okay. Spears. Toxic?
Yeah.
Okay.
I accidentally almost let you see that. I was like, oh shit.
I covered it because I wanted it to be legit. I couldn't have even read it that fast to begin with.
Yeah, because it was.
It's on your tiny little iPad, but I got that one legit.
You got that one really fast. I thought it was going to. I I should take video of Allison dancing to these songs.
I don't like this song, though, but I'm just excited.
How do you not like this song? I even like the original version of it.
Her version?
Yeah. I like them both.
Okay, I always say I hate chick stuff.
Yeah. Does it just need to be done by dudes?
Yeah. I'd be all about it if it was dudes. There's just something about chick singers that's like nails on a chalkboard to me. Call me sexist.
It's horrible.
I don't know why.
You're like the biggest sexist ever.
And that's the thing, and I'm such like an equal equality person, but when with certain things, I'm just like, no.
No, music is for dudes. Quit it, chicks.
there are some okay chicks. You know who I really like?
Who?
Suzanne Vega.
I know you like
I really
Suzanne.
Like Suzanne Vega straight up. Now, I haven't heard any of her songs covered by dudes. Maybe it's better. But no, I say that in all jokingness. But most chick bands, I don't like hearing about boyfriends and being pretty and, you know, I don't. And for a long time, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, when, okay, Roar comes out, I'm like, okay, I can get behind that, but I'm also not 12. So I'm not going to be blasting that out my car window. Yeah, you can. It's.
So you did good once again, babe.
I did really good.
You did four out of five, and I'm actually really, really proud of you because you, like you said, aren't into chick bands.
I'm not. You know, I was never really into Britney Spears back in the day. I was never really into any of that. So
no Spice Girls.
I did have the Spice Girls album, but Zig Zag Eye, that one, you know? Yeah. The one that everybody had. That was bought for me as a birthday present. I ditched that friend real fast.
But I ditched the friend, but I kept the CD.
I did. I still have it probably to this day in my parents' house.
How dare you assume I would like this? Secretly, I like this.
Ironically, a few years later, a different friend got me the Fastball CD, and that CD is still fucking good. If you listen to that Fastball album, it's still good. You won't not like it. I was listening to Everclear recently.
I know, you've been listening to Everclear a lot lately.
And the thing about Everclear is all their songs sound the same.
Well, yeah.
But that's also very comforting to me because I like their lyrics.
Yeah.
So I don't really mind that I'm listening to more or less the same
music.
Four chords. Yeah. Yeah. But no, I've been listening to a lot of Everclear because they have their new album coming out. It's out on Pandora, but I don't...
Always put those out like maybe a week earlier than the album, and I'm not sure why. Yeah. I think it takes away album sales.
It's called Black is the New Black.
Black is the New Black.
Black is the New Black.
Nice.
But yeah, I really like Everclear. I mean, I would probably still listen to some Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray?
If it came out, I wouldn't turn it off. But yeah, there's just something... I was never really into chick bands, and, you know, I like Suzanne Vega. And I think that's the one that I'm like, yeah. But like the whole Natalie Imbruglia, who else? No, I guess maybe like Alicia Keys. I liked her quite a bit.
All right.
You know who my dad loved?
Who did your dad love?
Macy Gray. Fucking loves Macy Gray. Till this day, you could be like, Dad, you want to go to a Macy Gray concert? He'll say yes. He loves Macy Gray. You know how he got into Macy Gray?
How?
She opened for David Bowie.
Oh, there we go.
And we went to the show, and he was just like, who is she?
You know who my dad really, really likes?
Who?
Like, really likes, and my mom makes fun of him for it? Adele.
Adele.
My dad loves Adele.
Can I tell you who I can't stand?
Adele.
Adele. Because, again, it's going back. I mean, I like her, but, again, it's going back to that, like...
Well, my dad was also like a huge Carly Simon fan back in the day. Yeah.
But you know, like Wilson Phillips sisters, I'll listen to
just her. Wilson Phillips.
Yeah, the sister. They're sisters?
Two of them are sisters, and then a friend, and they're all Beach Boy daughters.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That song about In the Snow or whatever, I'll listen to that. Something in the snow.
I actually have no idea what you're referencing.
You know, there's that song, and they talk about it, and then I look into the snow, and... I listen to Cyndi Lauper, too. I like Cyndi Lauper. She got kicked in the head by Roddy Piper.
No Manana?
Oh, gosh, no. Ugh. I'm sorry. I was either too young or too old for that boat. I don't know. No Madonna. But, oh, and you know, okay, so this isn't a chick, but do you want to know the weirdest band slash person slash musical artist that my dad has ever turned to me and said I like them?
Who?
Again, we were at Earth 2, which was a concert put on by Moby and David Bowie. And they had all, like, it was an all-day thing. Like, they had, like, Blue Man Group come out and play, and all these people come out. And you know who came out? Busta Rhymes.
Nice.
Not in his prime, either.
Yeah.
Not in his prime. And my dad turns to me, he's like, I like that Busta Rhymes. And I'm just like, go buy his album then, Dad. Have fun. Not for me. But no, I do have a weird, like... I guess for some reason, like, I just like, oh no, chick music, you need to go through a different section of my brain. I don't know why.
You need to sneak in through dudes singing your songs.
And then I'll be like, oh, you're okay. But no, but you know what I'm saying. Like, chick music, it's a lot of like, oh, I'm not just a pretty face. I'm just like, shut up. I'm not pretty. I don't need you telling me how hard it is for you to be pretty. Cardigans. Get the hell out of here.
They sung songs like that?
I don't know. They had that one song.
Yeah, about begging for love, right?
Yeah, fuck that. Don't beg for shit.
I don't think a pretty girl would sing
what's
that.
What was that song? You know, it was by, it was in that movie... Probably She's All That. you know.
Yeah, let's see out here.
I can't think of it right now. My mind went blank. But for some reason, in my head, Lisa Loeb popped up, and I don't know why. I listen to fuck some Lisa Loeb. She's nerdy.
She's all right.
Oh, you know who else I like who's a chick? Maybe I like more chicks. Maybe I like more chick singers, but I don't like the popular chick singers.
That might be true.
Because I'm not really a huge K-pop fan, but I do like Fireworks.
Yeah.
And I do, and Roar, I don't like her version, but I really enjoyed that version.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I like how they brought out the instead of just that, like, kind of weak sample in Roar.
Yeah, that's why I didn't like it.
The Rocky theme, like, they like, we got horn players, we're gonna blast it.
Yeah, I don't like that, but I like,
what were you gonna say?
Now I forgot her name, too. She has that song,
Gwen Stefani?
No.
I hate her.
She's in the Veronica Mars,
What?
I never knew nobody.
Regina Spector?
Yes. Thank you. I like her.
Yeah,
she's nerd,
good.
Too.
Yeah.
I guess really it's maybe it's not about boy and girl. Maybe it's about nerd music. Maybe it's just the nerd music.
It's about
Suzanne Vega, nerd. Lisa Loeb, nerd.
Anybody who has
this Regina Spektor, nerd.
Anybody who has They Might Be Giants play on one of their albums is bona fide nerd. And that's Suzanne Vega. Right
done.
There. Yeah.
So, but maybe I was looking at this wrong. Maybe I was looking at it from a gender standpoint. When in reality, I'm looking at it from a pop culture social factor.
I think it might still be a gender thing with you, though, because top-tier dudes you're still fine with. You're still fine with the Everclears of the world.
Have you listened to Art's interviews? He's such a nerd.
He's a nerd, but they were top.
That's like saying I can't like CM Punk because, oh, he's a top wrestler. He was a top wrestler. No, he's a nerd. He's a nerd. Art is a nerd. You listen to him on Loveline and stuff, he is a nerd.
And then start this discussion, talk about how big of a... I was talking about how popular his music
but
was.
But I don't think it matters how popular something is, because I think Regina Spektor is quite popular.
The only even kind of hit she had, for real, like, chart-wise, was when she guested on a Strokes song. Mm. And that still wasn't even one of the biggest Strokes songs.
Because, I mean, I think it's more about the nerd factor. I don't think it's about popular. I think it's about the nerd factor. And if that nerd factor thing happens to be popular, then so be it.
Maybe.
Just like, I mean, you know, Chris Hardwick. I don't like him any less because he's popular. I like him because he's a nerd and he speaks my language. And he's attractive.
Nah, there we go.
But,
ladies.
I can't turn it off. all right, so that's enough of talking about chicken. Yeah, but yeah, I think I've educated myself today about I've learned a little something about myself today.
And that's more than we can ever hope for in doing this podcast.
Absolutely.
All right, so you ready to talk about the main topic at hand?
Oh, well, I was just going to talk about whatever the hell I wanted to talk about.
Oh, okay.
You took up this quiz thing for 20 minutes.
I think that's a good way to intro into the show. Because you stop talking and you drink while you do it, thus getting more inebriated for the show. That's why I think it's a good idea.
Okay, I'll get into my stuff at the end.
Okay.
All right. So favorite authors and some of their favorite and least favorite works.
All right, you go first, because you came up with this topic like you had something on your mind that you wanted to talk about.
One of my favorite authors is David Nichols.
David Nichols.
Yes, he wrote One Day, he wrote...
Starter for Ten,
Us. And the one, Us, which I haven't read yet, and he's also written that one that in the UK was called Opposite of Attraction, but here was called The Understudy. Or something. He isn't called The Understudy. I like him. I love One Day. One Day might be my favorite girly book.
Such a girl.
One Day may be my favorite book, and it just happens to be very, very girly. One Day may be one of my favorite books in recent... And of course, we're talking about recent authors, I think.
Yeah,
More so than, like, oh, you know, for me to say, geez, like, my favorite book of all time is Wuthering Heights. I mean, that's... I just like that there's a character named Heathcliff. Because in my mind, it's an orange cat.
Who lives in a junkyard.
Lives in a junkyard. Heathcliff. Actually, he didn't live in the junkyard. The other side show lived in the junkyard.
I
guess, no, I guess he's good. Heathcliff, no one should terrorize the neighborhood.
Lives in a junkyard to this day. It's right there.
Lives in a junkyard to this day.
That's where he lived and died. That song is like...
Obama!
That song is just...
Thanks, story Obama. Lives in a junkyard. But I love One Day. One Day will be my favorite book of his. Yeah. One Day will be my favorite book. My least favorite book of his so far, now I haven't read Us yet, but I have a copy of it. My least favorite book is The Understudy.
Why?
I don't really like that one. It's about a dude who's an actor, and then he, like, has an affair with, like, one of the actresses in his show. Why?
Like, that ever happens.
I'm not saying that affairs are bad. I'm just saying I don't want to read about it in a book. I understand they happen, and I'm still begging for a hall pass, but... Brian's shaking his head.
No.
But I just didn't connect with it at that point. It was like, oh, I'm an understudy. Because he's not even an actor, he's an understudy. So you already walk into it being like, ugh. And they kind of made him like a schlub. And I'm just like, ugh. We're like, Starter for Tennis, the nerd guy on the quiz show. And not like that. And One Day, of course, is amazing. And the movie's great.
And you've talked about it at length several times.
Yeah, I don't even need to get into it. But I would say David Nichols is probably my current favorite author, where, like, I'll pick up his book, not even knowing what the plot is or the synopsis is. I'll just pick it up knowing that 9 times out of 10, I will have a enjoyable reading experience. What about you?
Well, you threw me for a loop when you said that it was going to be more modern. Because, as far as authors I really follow that write fiction...
I guess it doesn't need to be fiction.
Because I only have, like, one guy that writes currently that's written a lot that I can actually speak to, and that's Chuck Klosterman.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only written one novel. Mm-hmm. No, he's written two novels, but he's written, like, 5 books of just, like, life experience stuff. Mm-hmm. I like him because he's a dude from the Midwest who's really into music.
There you go. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
you connect with it.
He's into metal and stuff, and he writes a lot about metal, and he actually is different than me that he really likes sports, and so he writes about sports sometimes, and I'm just, kind of lost when he talks about what it's like to be a Green Bay Packers fan, and I'm just like, all right, good for your buddy, and whatever you're getting out of this, but I only follow what you're talking about right now. But no, I think he's a great writer, and I really enjoy him, as far as a modern...
I think you have more the more you have time to think about it. I think you'll come up
most,
with more.
My two other big ones that I really, really like are Raymond Chandler, who's from the 50s, who died in the 60s, and Philip K. Dick, who also died in the late 60s.
And I'll call you wrong in a couple minutes when I give you some
prompts. I didn't think we were talking about comic books.
Nope.
And I'm talking, they have to have more than 3 books.
Oh.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wait, they don't necessarily need to have more than 3 books. I didn't. Well, put if that I have
to have a favorite and a least favorite, I have to have more than. I would say I'd have to have 4 or 5 books to make a most and least favorite.
And mathematically, Brian, you only need 2. The only needs are ever written 2.
Okay. All right, you go next. Who's another favorite author of yours?
Okay, so one of my favorite authors is also, and don't judge me.
Is it a chick?
No.
Oh, okay.
But it is a tween writer.
Oh, I know who it is. That's a fine choice.
I like John Green. My favorite book of his is Fault in Our Stars.
Yeah.
Least favorite?
We've only read 2 books that he's fully written himself.
Yeah.
And then we read one that he split writing with another writer.
Yeah.
And then we haven't read his other 2.
Right, but I have them. I have An Abundance of Catherines, and I also have Looking for Alaska. Yeah. My least favorite of the ones I've read is Will Grayson.
Yeah. I like that one, though.
That's
what I'm saying. It's hard to say, because I still think Will Grayson, and Paper Towns are good books. I don't think they're as good as Fault in Our Stars.
Fault in Our Stars, I cry at that book. Like, yeah. I read it out loud to Brian while he was making dinners, and I had to stop because I was crying.
Aww.
And Brian's like, it's okay. And I'm trying to, like, hold in. He's like, it's okay. I'm like, no, it's not. They're not even real. It's words on a page. But I did really enjoy Fault in Our Stars. Like, read it multiple times. Same thing with One Day.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Paper Town was all right, but I don't think it held up to Fault in Our Stars. And Will Grayson, I was told I would love, because it's Illinois, and, you know, it's as if it's my, I don't want to say my childhood, but, like, that kind of Midwestern
theater kids. Yeah,
right? Like, everyone's like, you're going to love it, and then I'm reading it, and I'm just like, not only is this predictable, it's kind of, like, dumbing down the weird kid experiences in high school, is my thought. And I hear Abundance of Catherines is also not that great, and Looking for Alaska will be okay. The thing with John Green, and this is my only criticism of John Green, is he writes the same shit over and over again. It's always a weird guy going after a girl who's also weird. Who's also weird, right? So it's Augustus and, Hazel. Hazel Grace. It's Paper Towns guy.
Q and Margot.
And Margot. Margot Roth-Spiegelman. If I have to hear Margot Roth-Spiegelman one more time. But, like, and then Looking for Alaska. Same thing.
What is it?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Same thing with Will Grayson. It's this guy. It starts off as this guy looking for the girl. So it's always, like, the weird kid looking for the girl. So I'd like to see him branch out into a little something a little different. Because he's a really smart guy. And I do watch Vlogbrothers. Really smart. I'd like him to kind of do something a little more poignant. I guess
Reddit AMAs all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he loves it.
He's doing one a month until Paper Towns comes out.
He gives so much back to the internet community, and I find him and his brother. And I find that amazing. I mean, his brother Hank started VidCon. Like, they could probably live off of their YouTube money.
Probably.
At this point. But they also understand that this is a community, and, like, they kind of like Hannah Hart, where it's like, let's do good things for the community, too. So it's one of those, I respect what they do, but he's also super, super smart, so I would maybe like to see something a little, like swerve it. I know he doesn't want to, like, alienate an audience, but fucking swerve it a little bit. You know, like, there was a whole, like, him and his brother had this whole debate about Batman.
Yeah.
And how, you know, Hank was saying Batman is popular because we all strive to be Batman. We are Batman. We are Batman.
We could be Batman.
We are Batman.
Because Batman has no superpowers.
But it's more than that. It's about, you know, wanting the better. We are all Batman was kind of the thing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a generic thing for all superheroes.
Yeah.
But then John Green says, the only reason there's so much evil, like, there wasn't all this evil until Batman. And Batman's just a rich guy who has an affinity for bats. And they're both very interesting views. And I would almost like to see, like, him and Hank do, like, views on things like that. I would read the shit out of that. You know, because both are valid points.
Yeah.
You know, where he's like, the only, you know, it's like, there's so much more to Gotham than one, you know, it's like Gotham is so watered down, you know, and, you know, we go, oh, Gotham, you know, it's like, you know, the reason there's so much crime is because everybody wants to kill the bat. Doesn't that worry anybody?
Like, but it was, to be fair, Gotham was riddled with crime prior to Batman. That's why he became Batman.
But his answer is only temporary. He has millions and billions of dollars that he can actually do but he chooses to be a millionaire, a rich Howard Hughes type billionaire with an affinity for bats.
I can fully agree that his money could be put much more useful than him
to the city.
Yeah, dressing up and playing vigilante cop.
And that's the point that John is making, is that, you know, he's just a rich dude that has an affinity for bats, and he's not doing any good for Gotham. He's actually doing worse for Gotham because now people want to kill the bat and are doing things to goad him out to kill the bat. And, you know, and Hank takes the other stand of, no, it's about standing up and cleaning things up, and we are all bat. We should all strive to be Batmen and bat people, you know? And it's like, oh, yeah, I can see that too. You know, so it's, you know, but the question is Gotham better because of Batman? And it's really hard to answer yes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm with you, yeah.
And that's the thing with, like, Superman. Is Metropolis better because of Superman?
To a certain extent, I would actually say yes.
Exactly. That's the point I'm making. Is that with Superman, it's a little more cut and dry.
I mean, it's a little more, because there's not as many people in Metropolis coming after Superman. Mm-hmm. Lex Luthor is probably the only one. That I can remember. But, you know, when Superman lives in your town, where is all the weird aliens gonna go to? They're gonna come after Metropolis. But every once in a while, Brainiac's good, and he gives good things to the populace. So, you know, I don't know what to say to that. But, yeah, I think Superman probably does a little bit more for Metropolis than Batman does for Gotham, crime-wise. Mm-hmm. And nobody talks about poor New York City in the DC Universe. Do you know they're
Spider-Man? Isn't Spider-Man New York?
That's Marvel Universe.
Marvel, sorry.
In the DC Universe, since Gotham and Metropolis are both supposed to kind of be New York, they're two big cities near each other, and they're near New York City. Mm-hmm. And New York City is called the Cinderella City because of its two ugly stepsisters, which is Gotham and Metropolis.
That's hilarious.
This is old contingencies. New 52 might have, like, kicked that out, but I always thought that was very funny that there's still a New York in the DC universe.
In DC.
Yeah, right next to Gotham and Metropolis.
Wow. That's funny. But yeah, I would, for Hank Green, I would love to see a little swerve to the left or to the right. John Green, sorry. I would like to see a little swerve to the left or the right and just do something different.
Yeah.
That's all. Not that his writing is bad, I'll still pick up his next book.
Alright, who are you gonna call me on?
Who's the dude that wrote, King Dork in the second one?
Okay, that's Frank Portman.
Yeah.
I've read all of King Dork twice.
Mm-hmm.
I've read half of Andromeda Klein, and I'm only three chapters into King Dork approximately. That's why I can't make a call on that.
Okay.
Now, King Dork, I love that book. That book is great. I started reading King Dork approximately.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying not to laugh out loud because I was reading it in public, waiting in line at Record Store Day.
Tell me why you got that.
Oh, my wife got it for me.
As a
free promotional
pre-release.
Thing. Pre-release, yeah. And I'm just starting to read it now.
When it's
almost
probably
a year
been
later.
Out.
Yeah. But Andromeda Klein was written differently, and I couldn't get into it as much. And it was, it's kind of written in an odd style, which I'm having trouble. Like, I like his books because for me, they're really easy to read.
Mm-hmm.
And Andromeda Klein wasn't as easy.
Mm.
But I think it's a good book, but it's going to take a while before I pick that one back up.
Gotcha.
So I guess that might be my least favorite. And I hate saying that because the two King Dork books are about boys and then Andromeda Klein is about a girl.
Oh, sexist much.
I know. But one of the hard things about that book is the main character has problems hearing.
Oh, okay.
And so she hears words wrong and it's told from her point
of
view.
That's kind of interesting.
So sometimes, like, what is she saying? Like, she calls her mom both Australian and Austrian because she's not sure.
Oh, she can't tell?
Yeah, because the words just sound the same to her because of her hearing deficiency. Yeah. So that's why it's a little, you need to think while you're reading it. And sometimes I want to shut my mind off a little bit. And also maybe with King Dork, the references are to like music a lot of the times. And they come real easily to me. Like,
gotcha.
So it's a little bit.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Another author that I like, but again, I'm getting the same issue with.
Not enough work?
Yeah.
Not enough work read.
Yes. I like David Mitchell.
Yes.
I liked Cloud Atlas a lot. I'm going to be picking up Bone Clock.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never read Green Swan or
Green
whatever.
Green Swan or his, like, five other books, yeah.
But no, I like him, but I really liked Cloud Atlas as a book.
Yeah.
Before Jim Sturgis was even cast as, you know, I had heard about this book.
Yeah.
About how it was written and divvied up into, like, six different narratives that are interconnected. And I heard about it, and I was like, well, I have to read this. This sounds really interesting. So I read it, and that wasn't bad. I liked Cloud Atlas.
Really
I like Cloud Atlas the book more than I like the movie.
Yeah.
But the movie wasn't as bad as everybody makes it sound.
No, it wasn't.
Mm-mm.
I wanted more of the book, but, you know, what you gonna do?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because some parts of the movie were closer to the book than others.
Right. Right.
So.
Right.
It happens.
It does happen. And I think they had a really good idea with having, like, the same people playing multiple characters, which isn't necessarily brought out in the book.
Yeah, no. Well, in the book, it's completely different. Uh-huh. Like, the main character is always the reincarnated soul,
mm-hmm.
not the different actor playing each different character.
But if one person can be, doesn't that also mean other people would be, and wouldn't those souls also be connected?
Well, what I'm saying, in the movie, whoever is the main character of that story is also that actor.
But yeah, but what I'm saying is,
in the book, whoever has the birthmark is always that soul.
Right. That person is always that soul, but then that also means that the guy sitting next to you also...
Well, yeah, yeah. That's entirely possible.
Right.
Yeah.
But, and wouldn't... The question begs... Again, this is why Cloud Atlas is so great, is you ask these weird questions to yourself of... And then wouldn't those... If the reincarnated soul also has the same thing, wouldn't the soul that's sitting next to you also be connected to you?
Well, probably.
So that's why it makes sense for the same actors to be standing next to each other multiple times.
Kind of, except for their roles. They have their roles. And I think I've talked to you about the difference between the movie and the book. And one of the things I like about the movie is, obviously, each whenever the soul is the main character, which is the actor, the actor is that soul... when they are the main character, that's their story of breaking free from their old role and moving on to what they do for the rest of the movie as their characters. And they represent things. And I think you were the first one that brought up that they represent things after they've had their main narrative.
Mm-hmm.
That the Jim Sturgis role, Adam Ewing, in the first one, he was just kind of a dude. And by the end of his journey, he provides escape. And so for the rest of the
because
movie...
Because in his first character, Adam Ewing, he sees mistreatments of a slave on a ship.
But the thing with him is, like, we don't see him, his soul, before that story. And that's the first story. So we only know his journey. We don't see him trapped at all.
Right.
He becomes escape, and then he helps every other soul when they're the main character.
Well, I don't think it's about him being trapped and escaping. I think it's about what that character sees and how in that life and how that changes them for their next reincarnation.
Yeah.
So, but in the book, you don't get that at all.
No, because
you don't
the main
get that
character
level.
Is always the same soul. Adam Ewing is Stonmi, is Timothy, is...
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think having this Jim Sturgis character, who is Adam Ewing... see a mistreatment of a slave, befriend a slave in a time where that was a no-no, you know, and see that,
and become
see that it's
okay. abolitionist at the end of the story.
Right, and become an abolitionist at the end of the story. And then to make sense to have the Jim Sturgis character, the Jim Sturgis, the actor, play the character that releases Stonmi.
Stonmi, he helps, he's the soccer player who breaks the, barrel over the head
to make sure that the old people
can
continue
Timothy
on their
Cavendish
journey.
Cavendish can escape. He is always the one that's providing
helping
the escape for all
for
the rest of the
right
characters.
Yes, he always. And I think that was
and that's
a good
why
little...
we never see Tom Hanks's character be a good guy till the very end, because only his story at the end is where he finally realizes what he needs to do.
And it's interesting too, because in his first story. Tom Hanks's character, he takes one of Jim Sturgis's buttons, which is this blue jewel button on a vest. He's like, oh, I'm gonna...
He's just pretty much a taker. The only time when
he's
kind of a good guy, but he's still bad, is in the story where it has Jada Pinkett Smith as the lead character. And I can't remember any of the names of the people in that one, but that was like the...
The future?
No. No, the one before Timothy.
The one before Timothy.
Or is the one right at... No, the one right... Yeah. And it's like... It's kind of like an old mystery
novel. Where she's going after the nuclear people?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's the doctor that tries to help, but then gets killed in the plane crash. But he does
take all that information and give it to her. Yeah. So he still is taking things.
But then his character gets killed and doesn't even get to really complete what he wants to do. But at the end, since that's his character, the blue thing comes up, and he's attracted to this blue thing.
Yeah.
And he finds it, and he kind of puts it in his pocket, which is a callback to the very first story where he stole Jim Sturgis's button.
His vest in the second story is a blue vest, which he also took from the characters there, too. I can't remember.
There's always something like a blue button or a blue something in all of Tom Hanks's things ever since he took the one. That he's
attracted to,
Yes, exactly. It's like, that's a nice vest, and the vest says blue buttons. Like, it's, you know, it's one of those things where
it's been so long since I've seen the movie and read the book.
Yeah.
That I feel like I'm vaguing up a lot more than I need
to. Oh, absolutely. But I think the book, I mean, it goes into more about how one section affects another.
Yeah.
That's really what the book's about. Where in the movie, it's more about how the character changes from one to another.
Yes.
Right?
Agreed.
And that's a little different. Because in the book, you know, you have one thing happen, and then, because this thing happened, in the next story, they find something, like, from the first one that affects it. And you still have that a little bit in the movie, but the movie is definitely much more character as opposed to much more event, which the book is.
Yeah.
The book is all about events. Character secondary.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I like that book, and I'm going to be getting Bone Clock, which, again, is another one that's written in the same vein of, like, a weird juxtaposition, like, cut all over the place kind of thing. But I'm going to be getting it, and I'll definitely read it. And I think that he's a really good writer.
Yeah, I agree he's a good writer, and I want to read more of his stuff.
Absolutely. Another one that you like, if you don't have one.
I don't, that I think is more modern. That's
David Sedaris.
I go back and I could not finish his last book. I could barely even get started.
Really?
And that's those 2 books ago now for him.
Wow, really?
Yeah. That Engulfed in Flames. Like, I couldn't get into it. I don't know. Maybe there was just something with me when I first read Naked and Me Talk Pretty one day. And I just, flew through them. Like, they're great. I think they're great, but I don't know. Kind of slowed down on Sedaris. Yeah.
But what's, your favorite?
Probably Naked. Has a lot of good stories in it. But he writes, slice of life stories, you know, a lot of nonfiction. And when I think of writers, it's horrible, but I think of fiction when I think of writers.
I told you it doesn't have to be.
I know.
Told you the complete sentence because my next one is not.
Okay, well, what's your next one?
Mary Roach.
Oh, yeah.
Who wrote Packing for Mars, who wrote, the one about ghosts, wrote Gulp, the one about food. Yeah. How was the Stiff?
Stiff, the one, yeah.
I think Stiff is my favorite. The one about the ghosts that I forget the name of it is not it's as good.
Spook, isn't it?
Spook, thank you. Having a hard time finishing it. and I do have Packing for Mars on the docket. But I think Gulp might be another good one that I need to get to. It's all about gastro.
It's all about eating.
Science. Yeah, it's all about the science of eating, which I like to do. So, there you go. But I'd like Mary Roach a lot because what she does is she takes things like, for example, Stiff. She'll go and she will scientifically interview all about dead people.
Yeah. Right?
And she'll look at it from different walks of life and different time frames. Like, she'll look into, why, you know, we felt one way at one time and why we feel about it this way. And she'll go, interview people who are, you know, the people at crime scenes. Like, how do you get to the science of figuring out when you find a body how long ago it died? They need to look at a lot of dead bodies, you know, and put them through a lot of experiments. They put dead bodies into concrete to see how long it will take for a body to, you know, deteriorate over in that and, you know, in the sun, not in the sun, in the ground, not in the ground, in water, not in water, like any kind of death scenario. Yeah. So she interviews those kinds of people, and she really takes the science.
She's on Radiolab quite a bit.
Is she?
Actually,
I really like Stiff a lot. And she went and she'll go to a funeral home and learn all about that. And, you know, it's just really, really interesting. She went through the disgustingness of what it is to get embalmed and put into your casket because everybody thinks, they look so good.
Yeah.
Nope. Nah. In the inside, it's there's stuff in your eyes because your eyes sink in. Yeah. You know, it's really the gruesome science of it. But that's the truth. And I can appreciate someone that wants to tell you the truth. You know, like, it'll talk to you about why cremation became really popular. It'll talk to you about, like, you know, why funeral homes became really popular. And, like, what happens when you get embalmed? And what happens when, you know, what do? They sew your mouth shut.
Yeah.
They sew your mouth shut because your body releases gas. Mm-hmm. They'll also sew your butt shut.
Yeah.
Because your body will constantly be releasing gas. You know, and it's like, and that's the thing, it's like your mouth will open, your eyelids will open, they sew your eyelids shut, they put stuff in your eyeballs so that it looks like
there's an eyeball in there.
Because when you die, all your water comes out and your eyes sink in, and that's not how people want to remember you. Yeah. So it's gruesome, but you know, it's one of those things where it's like, this is the truth though. And I can appreciate that. You know, I can appreciate that. And I really like her a lot. And she writes about weird macabre things that I find interesting, which is also a good thing. I like weird macabre things.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think we've done this.
Yeah, I think, because you can't think of anybody else.
No, right? And look who jumped onto my lap.
Is it Research Assistant Logan Pants?
Nope, he just wants to sit on my lap.
He's a good boy. All right, so can I tell my stories now?
All right, I'm almost done with my beer, though.
CM Punk story time.
Ugh.
CM Punk story time. So, CM Punk's at C2E2 this weekend.
Yes.
And I was like, F this, I'm going to get everything I want. I want CM Punk stuff. Now, I had the opportunity to pay a guy $20 to get his autograph at Challengers. I didn't, which I thought was stupid, because now I'm paying $50 for an autograph. More than double, but whatever. I wear a lot of ProWrestlingTees.com shirts. Yeah. I'm wearing one right now, where it's a spoof on Thor, but it's CM Punk.
That's Punk, yeah.
So I'm all about that. I buy their t-shirts because they are a website that was made by wrestlers, supported by wrestlers, the designs are picked by the wrestlers, and the money goes to the wrestlers. Great. So I buy a lot of Punk stuff from there, because he personally picks the designs. And so they were putting out a C2, and they're based in Chicago. They're putting out a C2E2 exclusive shirt of Punk, kind of like a Walking Dead zombie fighter. Of course I need it. So I'm reaching out, I'm like, hey, Chicago friends, who's going to C2E2? And my friend Andrew came through.
Yeah, Andrew!
And he said he would get me the t-shirt, and I was like, great, but I really want this autograph, too. I didn't realize autographs were going to be $50. I'm sorry, Punk, I love you, but $50 is way too fucking steep for one piece of marker on a page. But whatever. And I asked him if he would do that, too. And he said yes.
Andrew's the best.
And so I took my Thor annual, the one with the wrestlers on the front, and I shipped it to Andrew so that he can have him sign it. Now, I was going back and forth, like, should I just get the UFC 8x10 that they're going to have? And I kind of regret that I didn't get the 8x10 UFC, but I'm sure I'll have an opportunity.
He'll have those forever.
I hope he gets those. I hope so. At least I hope so. And it's not just a one fight and fuck this. Because then those will really be hot on the market. But I don't sell my stuff. Don't sell my collections. So it doesn't matter. So my friend Andrew knows nothing about CM Punk. Nothing. So I didn't want it to be awkward for him to be, like, talking to him as he signs my stuff. So I put on a post-it note a little note for Punk, because I'm 10.
Yeah.
I put a little note on there, so in case my friend Andrew felt like, I have no idea who you are, I'm just getting this for my friend, and it gets awkward, right? He can be like, oh, here's this note. But if he doesn't need it, don't use it.
Yeah.
It was just kind of a break in case of emergency. And I guess he needed it. He texted me, and he's like, I read it. It was funny. And so he gave Punk the note. And in the note, I was like, I really love the Thor annual. It was the best one in the book. Blah, 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 blah. I hope you get your Punisher run, because that'd be awesome. And, you know, I'm anxiously awaiting your UFC debut. And, you know, even though I live in LA now, this Lockport girl is going to be proudly supporting you on that night, Allison. And this girl from Lockport originally will, you know, be supporting you, proudly supporting you that night. And so I guess my friend Andrew gave him the note, and he was just like, she's from Lockport? That's awesome! and so I had still to get all the details, because I didn't want to be like, call me right now! You know, because he's at C2E2. But I got the t-shirt, I got the signature, and his panel is on Sunday, tomorrow. And evidently there's a huge announcement. I really do think he got a short Punisher run, maybe a mini run.
Miniseries.
Miniseries. Because he's always wanted to do Punisher, and I think that's a lifelong dream for him, and I hope he gets it.
And I said he needs to, they need to put him on more D-lister superheroes. He's got to work his way up to Punisher.
We'll see. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But the announcement tomorrow, I think you can watch the panel online. My buddy Andrew's going to be there snapping some pictures, because they didn't let you take pictures in line, which I think is always stupid. I can say no pictures with the guy, but a quick little snap while he's signing your thing. Yeah. Because a lot of people do that because, you know, and I know it's like, to not encourage selling it, because then, yeah, because people want to see the picture, but still. I got my signature. It's going to say to Allison's, and I'm going to frame my comic. But it's, he was there, and I thought it was hilarious that I was kind of like embarrassed. I was writing a note as a 30-year-old to another 36-year-old man. But, and the fact that I spent $50 for him to write
to Allison,
and then six letters on a page. But, it is what it is. I should have got it done at Challengers. I really should have. But
live and learn.
Live and learn. But yeah, that is my CM Punk story, and we're that much closer now to being best friends.
Never gonna happen.
Shut up. You don't know that.
All right, is it time for
Twitters? Yes, it is time for Twitters.
All right.
So our buddy Steve was...
Steve had a lot to say.
He did.
He caught up in like three episodes at once, I think.
Yes, he had a lot to say. So basically all our tweets are from Steve, and then others are from number one fan Patrick, who we might be on his show again. Spoiler,
might
be on Patrick's Scream Queen show again.
With a Z.
With a Z. Our buddy Steve says, I'm just catching up after returning from Germany, listening to the card and board game episode.
Yeah.
Then he says, Allison will also have to find new fans once it's a wrestling podcast.
Probably.
Shut up. All of our tens of a fan base will follow me over. and then Survivor Carol, when I was asking for suggestions of topics, she says, Mother's Day is soon. How about how your moms tortured you and or drove you crazy? And maybe we'll do that one a little later.
Maybe. Maybe we will do that next week.
Not sure, but maybe we will. Steve also says, greetings from Michigan is awesome. Each Sufjan's album is kind of different, so it takes a couple of listens. And I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that. I guess this shows how often like I talk on the show and then I flush it. But Steve says his aunt makes an awesome lamb cake, and her frosting is awesome, and there's plenty of pieces without much on it. Because I guess we were talking about lamb cake.
Lammy cake.
Lamb cake.
Lamb cake.
And I said how I do like lamb cake, and then he says, sadly, I was in Germany for Easter this year, so I missed it.
No lammy cake in Germany. Only in Chicago.
Then Steve just laughs and says, aunt not make friends trying to pretend to be normal.
Yep, you can't do it.
And then he says, normal people don't talk about being retweeted for 20 minutes. To which I say, you're wrong, sir. I say you're wrong. Touché,
Stephen.
I think lots of people would talk about 20 minutes of being tweeted by their favorite wrestler. and then he says, Aunt and My Friends has more ads than podcasts with sponsors. Hashtag Pro Wrestling Tees, hashtag Course Banquet, hashtag Takati.
And then I went ahead and... tagged all of them and said I'd be happy to have each of them as a sponsor.
I'd be willing to take them as official sponsors of our foolishness, hashtag sellout. To which I said something to the effect of, this is fact. We love what we love.
I made sure I got the real Coors Twitter account, because there's like five fake Coors Twitter accounts. Oh, yeah. I want them to see that. I will take you on. I will drop Takati in a heartbeat.
All tens of our listeners. Yeah. And then he also suggests we get a real Twitter app.
And I said, what's wrong with how we use Twitter, jerk?
Then he says, Allison has to scroll through all those retweets. You should have a feed with just mentions. I don't know how to do that. So there you go. Steve's things for the week.
Oh, also, I want to say that Steve pointed out that I'm right about how Cards Against Humanity kind of sucks. And he then linked to a Kickstarter with... again, that's trying to do it right. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated that.
There you go.
Thank you, Steven. You're the best.
Steve's Things of the Week. Steve. And then we'll get into our Things of the Week.
All right.
Steve's Things of the Week are the new Alabama Shakes album, Sound and Color. and the new Built to Spill album, Untethered Moon.
Ooh.
Lots of music.
Yeah.
Lots of music.
I have not heard either of those. I have not listened to Built to Spill in about 15 years.
Coincidentally, I offered offered Steve one of our
Alabama Shakes bags that we got for Record Store Day.
Yep. I was like, do you want a bright yellow highlighter, yellow Alabama Shakes colors and sound bag? And he's like, yeah. Great.
All right, yeah. That should be cheap to ship because it's not that heavy.
Nope, not at all.
Awesome.
So what's your thing of the week, Brian?
My thing of the week, finally, the very last issue of Grant Morrison's Multiversity Project comes out this Wednesday. I cannot believe how much I'm looking forward to this comic. I'm really, really excited. I think, well, you go watch wrestling this Sunday. I'm probably going to read through all the other issues so that I'm ready on Wednesday.
Gotcha.
I think that's going to happen. I really do.
We'll see.
Because I'm super excited for Multiversity issue 2. Because that's how it was. Because all the other issues were number ones of, like, different titles.
Yeah.
And so the official end is just the second issue of just the main.
Gotcha.
It's cool. I'm really excited for it.
Interesting.
Comics are rad.
Interesting.
And if I had to pick my favorite comics author, it'd be Grant Morrison.
There you go.
Yeah.
My thing of the week is going to be the Everclear album and watching CM Punk's panel on Sunday. And Extreme Rules is on Sunday.
I know,
so I'll be there with my Slim Jim and Diet Cola with a bunch of dudes watching wrestling while Brian rereads some comics.
Comic books rule.
So those are my things of the week.
Awesome. Well, I think we can officially put this to bed. Let's... beer.
I actually had to chug mine a little bit.
Wow, Allison, why did you fall behind?
I was talking about John Green being Batman.
See, this is our problem. We talk too long to where our beer gets a little warm, and then we want to stop drinking.
Because especially Tecate.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they're a sponsor, which Tecate, you can
Tecate,
drink it warm.
What a great beer.
You can drink it drink warm.
Drink it all. You can pour it in some tomato and clam juice, and it's delicious.
Oh, yes.
Clamato.
Yeah.
Cum laude. I graduated college cum laude.
Summa cum laude. You know what? I'm also excited, which isn't like a new thing coming up, but what I will be picking up for Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
Which also should probably be a thing, because they're probably not going to have an episode out before Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, yeah. It's this Saturday, everybody.
Free Comic Book Day is going to be on May 2nd. Our local shop is going to be having like 50% off, and I'm hoping they have a copy of Sex Criminals Volume 2
nice.
For me to pick up for 50% off. So that's why I've been holding off.
I am probably going to bring a little list and go on a big hunt for various Wildstorm comics that I'm missing.
Yeah,
I finally finished the 18-year publishing of reading everything I could find from Wildstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm missing like maybe 10 comics. And I want to know what went on, because they make references to him, especially in the last few, where like everything's messed up and every character they've ever created is showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, who is this guy? Like, oh, I remember that chick had a comic, but I can't find it anywhere. So I'm going to be looking through quarter bins at Free Comic Book Day, because I'll probably pull them all out. Sell them by the pound.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. But there's a huge, if you're in the North Hollywood area, the Sherman mm-hmm. Oaks Valley area of California, we're going to be at the Blast Off Comics event.
Yeah, which
Blast
is Off the Comics. Federal Bar.
Yeah, well, they have the comics at the comic shop.
Okay.
And then they have all the event stuff with, like, food trucks and comic artists and Dana Gould.
Yeah,
and
Dana Gould.
A whole bunch of people at Federal Bar's parking lot. All day.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. We'll be there. A couple of our buddies will be there.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be there, tweet us.
Yes, please
and
do.
And let us know, and we'll come shake some hands and kiss some babies.
Yep.
If you want to tweet us, go ahead, tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @NotMakeFriends.
If you want to email us at podcast@NotMakeFriends.com.
Or you can Facebook us, Facebook.com/NotMakeFriends.
Or you can just go to our website, which is NotMakeFriends.com.
And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review there. And, you know, use Stitcher or
Whatevs, man.
Whatever. If you're on an Apple phone, use that. I've been using my work Apple phone to...
Oh, yeah?
Well, yeah, because they don't want me on the Wi-Fi, so I'm not going to pay for the data to stream my podcast when I go for a walk around the neighborhood during work to stretch my legs and my shoulders, because I have a desk job.
Yeah.
So towards the end of the day, I feel a bit like a troll, because I'm hunched over my desk, because I write a million emails a day. But anyways, do that and listen to it that way.
Cool. Awesome.
All right. Well, thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll have another random episode of Randomness next week.
Yeah.
Probably talking about our Free Comic Book Store Day haul. It'll probably be a Free Comic Book Store Day episode.
The baddest mothers. Like Shaft, who's one bad mother?
Shut your mouth.
Nah, just talking about Shaft. what a hack way to end this episode.
I don't even know what to say except penis.
Allison.
You said Shaft. That's what comes to mind.
Oh, balls.